without a doubt know and can discern when God is speaking. Yeah. So that anytime, even when you talk to your wife, you're not telling her your opinions, your thoughts, or your views, but you are telling her what the Spirit of the living God is speaking to you. And watch this. And a woman has no problem submitting to a man who submitted. But that man must be submitted. He must be an individual who honestly can hear from God, who spends quality and quantity time in the presence of God, and to know what he is saying in any given time for him and for his family. Because here's the thing. See, ladies, that's also why the reason why you got to assist in this whole effort. And man, maybe I get ahead of myself, but I got to say it right here since it's in my spirit. You have to assist in the whole process because you have to help keep his mind clear so that he can hear. Yeah, you need to be that kind of support system so that as he is attempting to hear from God, that you don't cloud the airwaves. See, and of course, I understand, and we need to understand men, their desire and their need to talk. But ladies, there's sometimes you have to be careful about what you're saying to the man and what time you're saying it at. Because a word spoken in due season, how good it is. So you can't just be flooding his head with stuff, you know, especially if it's things that make, in a sense, counteract what he's trying to accomplish. Are you hearing what I'm saying? See, because remember now, ladies, I want you to understand that in actuality, what the devil wants, he wants the man dead. He don't want him alive. But when I'm speaking of being dead today, I'm not talking about necessarily physically dead. He wants that man disconnected from God. He don't want that man to be able to hear from God and be able to provide the kind of leadership necessary. Because remember, the Bible says that if the strong man, I'm just using it in this context, if the strong man at the house, at the palace, is arrested, then the enemy can come in and spoil his goods or take his goods away. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So therefore, the man now supposed to be the leader of the household, if he can be removed, if he can be disconnected from God and disconnected from the woman in his life, he's accomplished his purpose. Yeah. And that's exactly what the enemy really wants to do. He wants to make sure that a man is disconnected from his wife. He don't want the two of you to become the formidable team and foe that you're supposed to be. So he tries to make sure that the two of you are always at odds with one another, that you can't communicate effectively with each other. And if y'all can't communicate, then there's no way that you'll be efficient or effective. There'll be no power in your household because neither one of you can really talk to the other one and then begin to see each other as one another's enemy. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Yes. Amen. And so that's what the enemy desires, to keep a man disconnected from anything spiritual. He does not, listen, he don't want you to come in here and really praise and worship. He just wants you to, he ain't got no problem with you showing up to church. You can show up to church as long as you don't get nothing when you come here. God. As long as you don't hear from God, as long as you don't put to practice anything you hear when you come in these doors. If you just come in, and watch this, you come in just to appease the woman in your life. She's been on me so much, I just got to go to church. Oh, my God. Yeah, because that's what a lot of men do. See, also, a lot of men will come just because of the fact, of course, that she wants him to come, but also because he's trying to get her. If they ain't married already, you know, and he thinks that somehow or another he'll win her over just by coming to church. Wrong reason, partner. Amen. Wrong reason. You're supposed to be in the house of God because, first of all, you want to be. Yes. And you're coming here because you realize that until you have really connected to God, you ain't a real man yet. Amen. Amen. Because a real man loves God. A real man knows God. A real man walks with God. A real man talks to God. A real man hears from God. A real man wants to be with God. And you want to be alive under Christ and you don't want to be dead. Amen. You don't want the woman in your life to say, hey, look, honey, what is God saying right now? You say, well, I'll get back to you. Come on now. That ain't the way this is supposed to be. You're supposed to be connected to God. And watch this. That woman can't really help you, man, if you are not pouring into her what God is saying. Remember, she's detail-oriented. And because she's detail-oriented, she can't come back to you with the things that you need to receive from her if you ain't gave her nothing to work with. Ah. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So that's why, as we see here, even in our text, it says there in verse 6, it says, and Joseph what? Died, all his brothers and all that generation. So now, the whole generation, if you will, of dreamers are gone. Yeah, because brother, one of the things that you definitely cannot lose the capacity for or the ability for is dreaming. A man must be a visionary. A man must be a person who can see futuristically and be able to articulate and to verbalize that and always remember that that gives you purpose and gives you drive and meaning for life when you know where you're headed. So that you and your wife, especially if you're married, you can talk to your wife and talk to her about where you guys are going and what you see and what you believe that God wants to do for your family. You have got to be able to know unequivocally at any time where you are even in your vision. Amen. Amen. And watch this. And once you begin to articulate and verbalize that vision, you've got to be so passionate about it, that you're driven by it, that when you get up in the morning, that's what causes you to want to go forward and do anything you do in any given day, that is your vision. And therefore, not only you, but your whole family is driven and directed by the vision and not just getting up every day going to a place to make some money. Come on now, because that's what many men are left to. Many men are left to doing nothing but going to a job every day just to make money, and therefore you have no real vision because all you're doing is following somebody else's. Because even in Genesis chapter 37, you don't have to turn to it, but in Genesis chapter 37, where it says right there in the first verse, it talks about the generations of Jacob. And then it says after generation, this is the history of the generations of Jacob, and the next thing it says is now Joseph. Being 17 years old. So here it is that Joseph begins the generation of dreamers in their family. So now, my brother, are you the dreamer in your family? Are you the one that's going to be used of God to make the difference and make the change in your family? By you being that visionary, by you being that dreamer, that you are now setting a new precedent for your family. That maybe up to this time, nobody has ever achieved or accomplished anything of really great merit or any great worth or value. And now God wants to use you to begin to make the difference in your family. That you're going to be the one who will be that great visionary. And it's not that your name will be going up in lights and written on signposts or anything like that. But you now are going to be used of God to now make the difference so that the young boys coming behind you and the young girls coming behind you will have a different flow to life because you are setting the pathway for them. And the pathway is that now they can become visionaries too because you opened the door. Are y'all hearing this here? Amen. Everybody ain't going to be a Bill Gates. Everybody ain't going to be a Martin Luther King Jr. You hear what I'm saying? But here's the thing. Listen, if you can make a determination that you're just going to be a great dad. Amen. Amen. Because if that's your dream, hey, that's a good dream, man. That's a good dream because I'm of the mindset that we got to get to the point to where our young boys don't want to just be like Mike.
Yeah.
Are you hearing me? It ain't about just being like Mike.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I remember a day when we were coming up when every boy wanted to be like his dad.
Right.
Yeah, man. We would go into dad's closet and we put on dad's clothes. Put on his hat and put on his shoes and put on his jacket, you know what I'm saying, Lonnie? And walk around, man, stuff, you know, all big and hang around. You know, because of how dad lived his life before us, because many of the men in days gone by were men of character.
Amen.
They were men of integrity. They worked hard for their families.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. I know that's right because even my own daddy, he would work double shifts sometimes. Sometimes we didn't see daddy, you know, for a day or so because he was just working and working and working. There were seven of us. And as I was saying to y'all some time ago, I didn't know I was poor. I mean, because basically all of us was on the same page. You know what I'm saying? And because all of us was on the same page, I just felt that's how we live. You know, the one thing I knew, I always had clothes. Amen. And if it wasn't nothing but government cheese and jelly, I had something to eat.
Amen.
You know what I'm saying? The only time, listen, now I knew there were some times when I might not have been able to get Patty what I wanted at the moment, but Daddy would make sure that I still had, right? So what the dads of old used to do, they used to know how to conserve. Amen. And so what they would do is that in order to conserve, knowing that I needed some school shoes, he would get me some Brogans. Come on, Lonnie, you know what I'm saying. Come on. Come on, you've been there, Lonnie. Come on now. Brogans, Jack. Now, Brogans. See, I can see, like, Brian, you over there. You over there. See, now, see, some of y'all, you know, I mean, y'all young, y'all understand. I'm going to break it down for you. But Brogans was like work boots, man. They were like work boots, but they have these big taps on the front and the back. Good God Almighty. And man, you sound like a horse coming down the street. Pop, clop, 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 clop. You know what I'm saying? But them boys last a long time. You know what I'm saying? They would last a long time, you know, and then when they wore out, daddy might not have been at the place where he could buy for me at the moment because he had to get something for my sisters, for my other brothers. And so what we would do is that we get some cardboard. Come on, sis, you know what I'm talking about. We get some cardboard and we stick that cardboard up in there where the hole was. And we keep on, come on, Dick, you know, and we keep on walking, Jack. We keep on, because our parents didn't drive us to school. They didn't drive us. And many times, they had no money to get no tokens. They ride no bus either. So, man, so the clip, the clop to school, Jack, every day. I'm walking from 15th and Lehigh down to 8th and Lehigh every day, going to high school. You know what I'm saying? You know, but I had no problem with it because I knew my dad was doing the best he could, you know? And the thing was, though, is that he did have a vision because Dad's vision was such to where he wanted to make sure his family never stayed in the same place. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so now what we need in this dispensation is another generation of Josephs. We need some men who are true visionaries, who see something more on the horizon than just the next big car. Who see something more than just the next big house. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But to see the fact that you've been given the responsibility by God to pour into this next generation and see these young boys and young girls become everything God wants them to be, that you spend your time investing in their life. Hallelujah. See, because you'll understand something, man. Listen, you'll understand that you are a great success when your children can speak well of their dad. Amen. See, because I don't care what kind of lifestyle I provide. I want to be used of God so that my children and my wife can always say, Daddy provided good life. You don't understand. That, in other words, Daddy was a part of life. Yes. Daddy was a part of it. That he wasn't just some figment right. of our imagination right. or some guy who just came home to change clothes and we never had him really involved in our lives. Right. You have to be a part of their growth. You have to be a part of their development. Got to be a part of their maturation. And you can't just leave all that stuff to mama. Amen. So right now then, my brothers, for those of you who still have families, what do you have as a vision for your family? And if you don't have kids right now, what's your vision for your wife? What you want to see her become? What do you want to see her do? Who is she, in fact? It's kind of tough up in here right now, I see. Okay, I guess I better move on, okay? Thank you, David. It says... It says in verse 7, it says, but the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly, multiplied, and grew exceedingly mighty, and the land was filled with them. So even though the age of dreamers has gone, yet they are still fruitful and multiplying because they are working off of what was already planted in them. Amen. And so train up a child in the way they should go, that even when they become old, they will not depart from it. So now watch this. So even though they may stray briefly away from the principles and precepts that they're taught, the time will come when they'll make their way back. Oh my God. Yeah. Because anybody that's got a half a brain, that after a while they realize that all the stuff that they've been doing that don't work. Huh? And realize that what has been planted in them by their dad, by their mom even, you know, will then be able to sustain them later on in life. But you at least have got to put it in them. And dad, you're supposed to be the primary teacher. Amen. So all you brothers who are not even married yet, understand this right now. If you're going to get married and you plan on having children, you got to be the one to be able to put in these kids what they're supposed to have to sustain them through life, especially the boys. Now, that is not to say that you don't spend any time with the girls either. Because you need to be able to pour into them as well. And if you don't do nothing else, Dad, show them girls what kind of man they should be looking for. Yeah, that's right. Show her what she should be looking for. Know what some of y'all dads need to do? Especially you got these teenage girls, date them. Not only date them, but tell you what, Nina bring people up in the house and say, hey, who is that? Some of them boys had a hard time coming through our house. And they would tell my daughter later on and say, man, he sure is rough, ain't he? Yeah, that's right, because I'm going to protect my household. That's right, I'm going to protect my household. And watch this, and if my kids make wayward decisions, at least it was their decision and not because I didn't take the time to pour into them. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And then verse number 8, it says, now there arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph, all right? Did not know the dreamer, did not know the foundation, didn't know where things came from. See, and that's exactly what society is trying to do today, is trying to so disconnect a man from his wife or disconnect a man even from leadership in this nation. In particular, because he's trying to make sure he separates him, because now the majority of the emphasis is placed on women. Because they realize that now when we talk about quotas and all that kind of stuff, that if we get a woman, you know, in a position, you know, and then sometimes, of course, if she is a minority woman, then they fill two quotas. And I'm not trying to decry or wail against the fact that women could not be in leadership. Yes, absolutely. You guys got some great stuff in you. Okay? But at the same time, what we're doing is pushing men further and further out the picture. Amen. Amen. Because this nation is even trying to redefine what a man is. Amen. I'm telling you, they're trying to redefine what a man is. Don't want a man to be a man. To say that a man can live with another man. Something wrong with that picture. Man, I'll tell you, they were showing on the news that some of these guys talking about being, yo, I ain't no gay. You can't be gay, no, you're going to hell. I'm going to let that sink in for a second. Gay means to be happy. How could you be happy knowing you're going to hell? If you don't repent and change your ways. Oh, I'm going to say that. Yeah, that's right. Because the man or the woman who does not accept Jesus Christ and chooses to live a lifestyle of homosexuality or lesbianism is going to hell. Period, the end. Watch this. In fact, the Bible says that even the man who acts effeminate. Am I in the Bible, Patty?
Yes, sir.
The Bible says that the man who may not be homosexual per se, but acts like a woman, the Bible says he ain't going in either. You better read your book. Are you hearing me? So now what we're trying to do is literally exclude a man, you know, from society, and we're trying to come up with this subculture that in actuality has no definition to it, has no morality to it, no values to it any whatsoever, and we men can't stand for it. Amen. Amen. Because all of our advocates just can't be women. Hallelujah. Do you know what the Bible even says? Isaiah, I believe it's Isaiah chapter 4. It says that they would come when there'll be seven women who want to attach themselves to one man and say, you ain't got to do nothing for us. So you ain't got to do nothing for us. All we want you to do is just give us your name. We'll take care of ourselves. Just give us your name. We just want to have the right to say that we was married to somebody. It's the Bible. And that's the age that we are living in right now. Because we are living in the age of anything goes. And we men who are supposed to be leaders got to stand up and say, enough is enough. We ain't taking this no more. So, there arose a king that did not know Joseph. Verse 15, then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shifra and the other name of the other was Pua. Now there's a few meanings for their names in the Hebrew. One for Pua, it means her name is Splendid One, or it also means childbearing. Childbearing or joy of her parents. Childbearing. Now here it is that this woman was already named for where she was going. Mm-hmm. The other one's name, Shifra, it means beautiful one, or it means to promote or be a keeper, the guarded one of the Lord. That's what Shifra's name means. Now, let me also share this with you. Shifra and Pua were actually Egyptian names. Shifra and Pua, even though it says Hebrew here, nothing still, they were actually Egyptians who were given a job by Pharaoh, and they had a staff of over 500 women who were all midwives. This is from Jewish history, okay? So here it is, they were over a staff of 500 women, and these were the ones who actually were the chief midwives hired by Pharaoh. And now Pharaoh is enlisting them to kill Jews. Now watch this, let me show you something. Verse 16, and he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, because that's how they used to have babies. You know, when all the epidurals and all that stuff like we have today. You know what I'm saying? It was straight no chaser. Yep, straight no chaser, Jack. I'm telling you. You know, hey, you had to go for it. I mean, the Lord said you have the child in pain and sorrow. Come on, that's what he said. And that's what was going on. There was nothing to relieve none of that pain. Amen. I know y'all say, oh, sure, it's painful anyway, Bishop. Yeah, I understand. But it would be even more so when there was no drugs involved. Are y'all still here? Okay. So it says, and see them on the birth stools. If it is a son, then you shall what? Kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall what? Live. Why? The reason why they want to kill the boy, or kill the man-child, is because the man-child carried the seed. And because the man-child was the one carrying the seed, if no seed was given, then there could be no more kids. And so they felt by cutting off all these boys that they want to actually cut off another generation. Amen. And so that's what you have to understand then, men. You have got to be careful then with your seed. Because your seed is sacred. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now watch this. Now I pray to God, ain't no real sensitive ears in here right now. But see, that's why you got to also make sure, man, you shouldn't even be trying to spew your seed through masturbation. You an unmarried man in particular, you know, and you're masturbating, man. You're spewing out what is sacred. Uh-huh. Are y'all hearing me here? Uh-huh. Amen. Amen. And you should not be involved in fornication either.
That's right. Amen.
Because you are spewing your seed into someone who's not your wife.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Y'all quiet on me here right now. Yeah, she ain't your wife, and what you also got to understand is that when the two of y'all come together, it is not just your bodies coming together. The Bible says also your spirits are joining, and if your spirits are joining with one another, then what it means then is that by the time you get married and you stand at the altar saying that you're giving your all to this individual you're getting ready to marry, you're lying. Because in actuality, a part of you is with every woman you ever slept with. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, that's exactly what's happening. So therefore, when you stand at the altar saying you're giving your all, again, you're not, because all you're doing is giving what's left.
That's right. Amen.
Are y'all still in here?
Yes.
Amen. So therefore, you got to protect. You got to guard your seed. Why? Because in your seed is not just another child, but in your seed is another generation. Amen. There's another generation in you, man. And understand this here, that whatever you do during the course of your life has the potential to affect not only just one generation, but four.
Amen.
Ah, because the iniquity of the fathers is visited unto the children and the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. Now, a generation is what? 40 years. So since a generation is 40 years and you're being able to affect the third and the fourth generation, four generations, 40 years, four times 40, 160. So every man has the ability to affect 160 years of life. So what you are doing right now, my dear brother, is that you will have the ability now to affect life for the next 160 years after you're gone. And so therefore, what will the future generations look like based on where you are right now? Are you pouring into this next generation? Are you taking the time to even discuss certain matters with these young boys of yours? Listen, because them having a bunch of girls calling them ain't cute.
That's right. Amen.
We used to say back in the day, say, yeah, we got a squad, we got a posse and all that kind of stuff. You know what I'm saying? But having a whole bunch of women around you, man, that ain't it.
That's right.
That is not it. Because guess what that is? That is not showing a boy how to have integrity. Amen. You're teaching him already to have a blemished character. He'll have a bad reputation as being a player. And we'll call each other that stuff. Hey, player. And then we don't call him player. Hey, dog. So here you are calling a boy a dog. Now, a dog ain't got no problem where he deposits his seed. Oh my God, I feel the Holy Ghost right there. Because a dog, watch this, don't think nothing about its seed. Because a dog will deposit his seed wherever he finds a woman in heat. Are y'all hearing what I'm saying? Amen. And then ladies, I gotta say this to y'all real quick. You can't allow yourself either to be some waste dumping station. Letting some dog dump his seed in you, and then you praying for the next month, hoping that your period come on. Am I still talking good over here? So the enemy, brother, wants you dead. He don't want you alive. He don't want you sensitive to God. He don't want you thinking about godly things. He don't want you thinking about sacred things. He don't want you thinking that your seed is sacred. Amen. He just wants you to be thinking that, hey, because you a man, you're supposed to go and experience things just like everybody else. But that's the reason why a lot of men, watch this, they're liars, really. Because a lot of men have had nowhere near the experiences they said they've had. Because all they're trying to do is impress other men. Because everybody getting together and talking, they, you know, giving their stories about all the women they done conquered. Yeah, man, I've been down, man. You know, God, yes, sir, man. And they talk all that stuff, and in reality, it's a lie.
Yeah, amen.
It's a lie. Because the deal that they realized that in many instances, they got shot down by the woman. And you're right, that's right. They ain't gonna tell that story. They ain't gonna tell that story. They done blanked out on how many different occasions. They ain't gonna say that. Amen. Because that's too much like right. Because why? We have an ego. And that ego needs to be massaged. That ego needs to be stroked. Are you hearing what I'm saying?